Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Well, it is really happening now. People are slowly getting into the Christmas mood. Yes, Christmas is more than 10 days away, but slowly as you look around Prashanthi Nilayam, you find so many people from different lands, different cultures streaming in. And as you see these people from Africa, from Argentina, from Russia, from Middle East, from Canada, you know that yes, the festival is not many days away. That is the beauty of Prashanthi Nilayam. Swami said, this is Prashanthi Nilayam. This will give you supreme peace. But before you are blessed with that, you will be put through that process of being rewarded with that peace. You will be put to not tests, but the refinement and the churning of the heart. Swami says, God does not put you into tests, but God puts you into the fire. Why? Because out of this fire, you will emerge glorified. You will emerge sanctified. You will emerge godly. To make us good, glorified and godly, God puts us into the fire. And Prashanthi Nilayam is one such eternal fire. Whoever you may be, once you come into the space, this place will rest only when it has purified you, only when it has removed all those parts of you which are not glorious. It will strive to ensure that every remnant of your past that does not take you towards Prashanthi is little by little annihilated. The process can sometimes be painful, sometimes very enjoyable. It all depends on how we look at it. What is our attitude? When we are in the fire, we can complain, or we can just smile, because we know that this fire is only going to make us shine brighter and take us higher. This fire that is Prashanthi has produced so many beautiful souls, and I feel it is the brightness of all these little souls who have gone through the process and emerged good, glorified and godly are the people who are truly the recipients of Prashanthi in Prashanthi Nilayam. We have been contemplating on one such beautiful soul in the last few episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. The story of Mr. B.V. Ramana Rao, who, even when he was past 90, was serving in the ashram as the editor of Telugu Sanatana Sarthi. He took up this responsibility after he was 85. Someone who has seen the entire journey of the Sevadal movement, being one of the members Bhagwan personally appointed as he formed his first batch of Sevadals way back in 60s. Over so many episodes, I have shared with you many revealing moments that he has experienced in the proximity of Bhagwan. Today we continue this journey. We are now in the 70s. We talked about his initial meeting with Bhagwan, all the transformation of a heart that happened, how he traveled with Swami, how Swami came to his house, and how he was involved in so many service projects, the Anantapur campus, the Vrindavan campus, how he was involved with the summer course that was part of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning's curriculum every year. So we are now in the 70s, the later half of 70s. And Mr. Raman Rao narrates one very significant incident that happened. Sri Deepala Pichai Shastri was a renowned poet and scholar. He was the poet laureate in the court of Venkatagiri Maharaja, the king of Venkatagiri. Swami used to love his scholarship, and Bhagwan visited the town of Venkatagiri every year from 1950 to 1970, almost continuously. And Sri Deepala Pichai Shastri had so many opportunities of interaction with Bhagwan. Bhagwan loved the scholar. In fact, Sri Shastri had compiled the divine discourses of Bhagwan delivered in the years 1963 and 64 and published a book called Vachanamritam. One day, when Sri Shastri and Mr. Raman Rao and two others were sitting at the feet of Bhagwan, Sri Shastri mentioned to Swami, "Bhagwan, in spite of my being from Nellore, from the district of Nellore, and even though I have visited Chennai so many times to attend conferences, somehow I never had the opportunity to visit the ashram of Ramana Maharshi at Arunachalam." When Bhagwan heard this remark from Sri Shastri, so immediately looked at Sri Raman Rao and instructed him, saying, "You start tomorrow itself with Shastri to the ashram of Ramana Maharshi. Show him around and come back. Fulfill this wish of the scholar." So before Mr. Raman Rao could leave for Chennai, Swami called both of them. Sri Pichai Shastri was already 70 years old by then. So Swami told Mr. Raman Rao to ensure that Sri Shastri is very comfortable during the journey. Ensure that he eats on time. Ensure that he eats biscuits and fruits. Swami told Raman Rao, "If you want, you can eat vada, puri, masala dosa. But let him eat biscuits and fruits in the morning. And probably idli and coffee. Ensure that he is not subjected to any physical strain. You ensure that all the comforts are provided to him so that he has a memorable journey to the Arunachala Ashram. So, taking Swami's blessings, Mr. Raman Rao started the journey with Mr. Shastri. They reached Chennai by train and they took a car, and from Chennai they reached Thiruvannamalai. Mr. Raman Rao had got some fruits and biscuits for Mr. Shastri, and whenever he got hungry during the journey, he would get down and eat idli and vada, but he would always offer fruits and biscuits to the elder enlightened devotee as per Bhagwan's instructions. So during the train journey, at Sulurput station, when Sri Raman Rao got down and he was having his idli and vada, and after he finished, he came back to the compartment. Now he found Sri Shastri was eating idli and vada. And he was flabbergasted. He was worried. Oh my God, why is he eating idli and vada? I did not get this for him. How did he manage to get idli and vada? Swami had told that he should eat only fruits and biscuits. And Sri Shastri said, "Don't worry, I got it with the help of a co-passenger." And he said, "Look, Raman Rao, the instructions that Swami gave you regarding my food were only because of his consideration and his love for me. I don't observe any of these restrictions even while at Venkatagiri or when I'm attending conferences. So don't worry, I am fine." Then Mr. Raman Rao told Mr. Shastri, "Sir, when you are on your own, you can act as per your will. But Swami clearly told me about your food. If unfortunately, because of any unforeseen circumstance, if you develop any health problem, then it will be attributed only to my carelessness and nothing else." And Mr. Shastri said, "Don't worry. Okay, we will follow Swami's orders. I will tell Swami, you don't worry." So they started off for Thiruvannamalai from Chennai with the driver. And during the journey, Sri Shastri was in tears, thinking about the love of Bhagwan, how just a casual comment that he made, Bhagwan was now fulfilling it so beautifully. When they reached Thiruvannamalai, they were given a guest house. They had their dinner in the canteen. At 9:30 p.m. in the night, Sri Shastri woke up Mr. Raman Rao and said, "We should make a pradakshina, the circumambulation around the Arunachala hill, the next morning." And Mr. Raman Rao was taken aback. He said, "Sir, you cannot subject yourself to so much physical strain. We will go around the hill in the car. If you want, we can do it any number of times, but in the car." And Sri Shastri said, "Then the whole punyam, the whole merit will go to the car and to the friend who has lent that car to you. Okay, you don't worry. Tomorrow we'll think about it. Sleep now." So they got up early in the morning and completed the morning rituals. And now Sri Shastri said that he would be in the canteen reading newspaper. And after Mr. Raman Rao reached the canteen, there, to his shock, he found him eating dosa and pongal for breakfast. And when they came out of the canteen at 6:30 a.m., now Sri Shastri tied his upper cloth around the waist, ready to do the pradakshina. He said, come, let's get started on the circumambulation of the hill. And Sri Raman Rao did not know what to do. He was trying to do everything possible within his means to ensure that Sri Shastri is not put to any inconvenience, that his comfort is taken care of. But Sri Shastri was exuding so much of energy and joy and happiness, and he wanted to walk and do the pradakshina. So Mr. Raman Rao told the car driver to start, and just every half a mile just to be behind them, so that in case Sri Shastri at any point in time needs the car to rest, then it should always be available. But Sri Shastri was full of confidence and he had a great sense of humor too. So they walked around the Arunachala hill, and during that whole journey, that beautiful morning walk, Sri Shastri was narrating many lovely experiences with Bhagwan that he had had at Venkatagiri and at Puttaparthi. And he was very active, very agile, he was walking briskly. By 11:30 a.m. they finished the circumambulation. They had lunch at the guest house, they took rest for an hour, and Sri Shastri was looking very cheerful. And then he started saying, okay, now we can go back to Puttaparthi, I have had my fill. When they returned to Puttaparthi, both of them were waiting under the tree with their baggage for darshan of Bhagwan. Swami used to grant darshan from the upstairs in those days. After they reached, Swami came up and it was hardly 2 minutes that they had reached Prashantanilayam, and how now Bhagwan was there. Swami saw them and Swami called them to come up. So they quickly climbed to the room where Bhagwan was seated on his sofa. They sat at his lotus feet, and Swami immediately with great love waved his hand in the air and materialized a cutlet-like object. And Swami kept that object in Raman Rao's hand, and immediately he shouted, Swami, Swami. I said, what happened? Is it very hot? Swami said, yeah, it's going to be hot. I just removed it from the pan. And Swami then took that object into his palm and then blew on it with his breath, made it into two pieces and gave to both of them. And Swami said, eat this. This is the Dhuli Darshana Prasadam, which means the prasadam which the devotees are given as soon as they see the Lord, even before they have had a bath or change the clothes. The first darshan of the Lord is called Dhuli Darshana Prasadam. Swami said, this is that prasadam. And it was very fragrant and sweet. And Mr. Raman Rao was wondering in which part of the universe was it prepared. It was so delicious. And then Swami looked at both of them, and looking at Shastri, Swami said, oh Shastri, so you did the pradakshina easily. And Sri Shastri sir replied, Swami, it was the effect of your sankalpam, Swami. It was because of your will. Swami immediately added, it was the effect of that sacred hill, Arunachalam, Swami said. It was the effect of that sacred hill, Arunachalam. That is the glory of the Arunachala hill. That hill is always considered as divine. Anyone who has been to the Ramana Ashram and has had the chance to do Giri Pradakshina around this sacred hill can relate to what Bhagwan told Mr. Raman Rao way back in late 70s. He could do the pradakshina easily. Shri Shastri, who was more than 70 years, could do the pradakshina so easily because Swami said it was the effect of the sacred hill, Arunachalam. In fact, it's really interesting that we are talking about this today. It is December 12th, 2019, and just 2 days ago was the beautiful culmination of the Kartikeya Deepam Festival, which started on 1st of December 2019. The Kartikeya Deepam Festival in Arunachalam begins with the hoisting of the flag signifying the commencement of the festival, which is also known as Dwajarohanam. In the morning and night, Lord Arunachaleshwarar is taken out on a silver vahana, procession on a silver throne, and all the Panchamurtis, the five deities, are taken out in the procession. Lord Ganapati, Lord Murugan, Lord Sandeshwarar, Lord Arunachaleshwarar, and Goddess Parvati. And these processions are carried out on different chariots after the Deeparadhana. The first inauguration of the Deepam is done at the Kalyan Mandapam, and every day for the next 10 days you have the procession of these deities in different hues, in different colors, on different chariots, with different decorations, with different religious paraphernalia. And it is one of the most sacred festivals in Tamil Nadu, and especially the town of Arunachala, Tiruvannamalai, is on a different high during this festival. On the 10th day, the Kartikeya Deepam Festival starts at 4 in the morning, and the Bharani Deepam is lit at the temple. In the evening, the Mahadeepam, the great lamp, is lit on the top of the hill at 6 p.m. And that is a very important ceremony during the Kartikeya Deepam Festival at Tiruvannamalai. Arunachaleshwarar is said to be visually represented in the form of fire on the top of the hill. There is a very mammoth gathering on this day at this temple to witness this glorious and sacred event. The night ceremony starts with Lord Periyanayagar going out in procession on the Rishabhavahanam, which is made of gold. There is another spectacular event at Arunachaleshwara temple during that night, when people see the Lord on the golden throne. The spectacle that unfolds in their hearts is life transforming. This is the glory of Tiruvannamalai. And Bhagwan so beautifully confirmed to Deepala Pichaya Shastri, if you are able to fill yourself with that inspiration and energy to do the Giri Pradakshina, doing satsang of the Lord, it was only because of the glory of this sacred hill. And if you look at this episode, here was Mr. Raman Rao sent by Swami with so many instructions about the food and comfort of Shri Shastri, and Mr. Raman Rao was trying to do his best. Even when he said he wanted to walk, he ensured there was a car following him. So he did everything in his capacity to ensure that he's walking on the path of the instructions that Bhagwan had given, while Deepala Pichaya Shastri was guided by his own connect with Swami. When the intentions are pure and when the instructions are followed with our mind, heart and everything in all sincerity, then the result is always good. The result is always that is pleasing to Bhagwan. Swami was on one hand seeing how meticulous is Mr. Raman Rao in trying to follow his instructions, at the same time filling Sri Deepala Pichaya Shastri with energy so that his lifetime's desire of being at the Arunachala Hill is fulfilled in a manner that will remain within him as one of his life's most cherished memories.
Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva, Arunachala Shiva.
Shivaya Shivaya Namo.
శివాయ శివాయ నమో ఓం నమ శివాయ శివాయ నమో
So continuing with another beautiful story narrated by Mr. Raman Rao. This happened in the year 1976. That was the year when the Hillview Stadium was ready for those who are not familiar with the Hillview Stadium. It is this huge space behind the school hostel building where you have lovely statues of Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva, Jesus, Buddha, Shirdi Sai, Zoroastra, and on top you have Lord Hanuman. And it is this huge ground, which is the space where Narayan Seva is organized during Dasara in the early years, and later on during birthday and Aradhana Mahotsavam day. So lines would be marked on the ground with white flour. And in those days, Sevadal would seat 100 beneficiaries in each line, keeping males and females in separate rows. And after all the people are seated, they would be served sweet pongal and sambar rice. And after food distribution is over, clothes would be gifted, dhotis for the males and saris for the ladies. Bhagwan himself would initiate the Narayan Seva with his divine hands. Around 10,000 people were served in 1976 during the Dasara celebrations. On that occasion, as the distribution of food was going on, suddenly it was felt that the sambar rice fell short. Shri Kudumbrao, who was the secretary of the ashram then, was instructed to arrange immediately additional quantity of sambar rice in a tractor. And Mr. Kudumbrao was on the job. Swami asked Mr. Raman Rao to go and hasten up the process, because people were waiting there and some had not had the food. When Mr. Raman Rao reached the canteen, he saw that huge aluminium vessel containing very hot sambar, which was being lifted onto the tractor, suddenly slipped and nearly one-fourth of that hot sambar fell on Shri Kutumbrao. Shri Kutumbrao was trying to help in lifting that vessel because Swami was waiting. He also was very anxious. He wanted to do it at the earliest. He wanted to do it himself. In that whole process of putting this huge vessel onto the tractor, there was a small mishap and huge quantity of that sambar fell on Sri Kutum Rao. It was hot sambar. So obviously his skin from the chest up to the thighs was badly burnt and blistered. He was immediately sent to the hospital. And the Sevadals took whatever was left of that vessel and went to the Seva ground. And the distribution happened. In the afternoon, 3 p.m., Mr. Raman Rao went to see Sri Kutum Rao. Sri Kutum Rao's wife requested Raman Rao to convey to Swami that all the areas where his skin was burnt, cream has been applied and bandage has been put. And because Mr. Kutum Rao was moaning and groaning in pain, he was given some sleeping pills. And she wanted that this should be conveyed to Bhagwan. And Mr. Raman Rao was wondering, what do I go and tell Swami? Does he not know? And he was thinking how to convey to Swami also, because there are so many things happening at that time. And also, apparently the people who went with the sambar already informed Swami. And Bhagwan told them to just do the sambar rice immediately. Mix that sambar with that rice which was there and serve the waiting devotees first. So Mr. Raman Rao did not know if he should tell Swami anything. Anyway, the omnipresent Swami knows. Physically also he has been informed. At 6 in the evening, Swami asked for Sri Kutum Rao. And with a lot of difficulty, Kutum Rao went to Bhagwan, forgetting the pain. Swami looked at him and said, Kutum Rao, Sohan Lal has arrived from Delhi along with 6 friends. You go to their rooms and deliver these guest badges. Swami did not inquire with him anything about what had happened, just gave him a task to do. Sri Kutum Rao just implicitly executed the order of Bhagwan in spite of all the pain that he was undergoing. In fact, the doctor in the night had told, the doctor had told that the patient should be in the hospital in the night. He had told that the patient needs necessary treatment and he should not be in the room. Till midnight, Sri Kutum Rao was groaning in pain. He did not go to the hospital. He finished that job and just went back to his room and was just going through that suffering on his own, praying to Swami. Never even told Swami anything when he went to Swami's presence. Early next morning, his wife removed the bandages so that Mr. Kutum Rao could do his morning ablutions, and to his wife's utter shock and joy, there was no sign of any blister anywhere on his body. If you do my work, if you are so dedicated to fulfill my command that you don't mind going to any length, and even when I give an opportunity to come to me, you don't ever complain, then see to which plane I take you to. That is the life of the yesteryear devotees of Bhagwan, Sri Kutumbrao, Sri Rama Brahmam, Sri Kasturi, Mrs. Ratanlal. There is so much to learn about what is obedience, what is service, what is dedication from these beautiful souls specially created by Bhagwan. Sri Kutumbrao just got up, took his bath, did his usual puja, just like any other day, and went about doing the duties assigned by Bhagwan as the secretary of the ashram. What can we say about those whose life is nothing but a saga of service? The purpose of this series, Beacons of Prashantinilam, is to share these stories so that we will know how for us in life Bhagwan should always be first. Sai first. And Sai first means service first. If Sai is first, service is first, don't worry about anything else. Anything that comes next will be taken care of by the Lord. There's another very powerful story that Mr. Raman Rao narrates in his book Nectar of Love. It was during the time when the devastating cyclone hit the delta of the Krishna River, the Divi Taluk in Andhra Pradesh. It happened on November 19, 1977. It was such a terrible cyclone. The island of Divi Seema was hit by a 6-meter high, 20 feet storm surge. And the loss of life ran into thousands. Hundreds of bodies were floating in the waters and bodies were bloated beyond recognition. They were all consigned to mass pyres. Landslides ripped off the railway lines. 100 people who had left their homes to seek shelter in a church in Bapatla town were killed when the building collapsed. Fields of paddy and cash crops were submerged by the tidal waves. 13 sailing vessels, including some foreign ones, were missing in the storm. 100 villages were marooned, washed away by the cyclonic storms and the ensuing floods. 10,800 people killed or missing. 34 lakh were rendered homeless. A day later, a destructive tidal wave swept into Nagapattinam and the surrounding areas in Tamil Nadu and caused equally great havoc. And it was at this time that the Sevadals of Sri Sathya Sai organizations of the affected areas, they denied themselves the long-awaited chance to attend the All India Conference of Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations, which was held in Prashantinilam on November 20th, 21st and 22nd, and served instead in these needy areas. Bhagwan appreciated the spontaneous response that came from the sadhana-toughened youth of the land. On 23rd November, Bhagwan's birthday, when more than 30,000 devotees from all states of India and many overseas countries were present in Prashantinilam, Swami said, "Seva for the survivors of this great tragedy is in fact the foremost duty of all, and he asked the members and office bearers of the units of the organization in the affected and adjacent districts to proceed to their home villages and plan out relief and rehabilitation work. Sri Prasad Rao, the state president of Satya Seva organization, and Mr. Raman Rao were given responsibilities to carry out large scale relief operations on behalf of Satya Seva organization. But both of them did not know how to proceed because it was such a mammoth work. And Sri Prasad Rao went to Swami and said, "Swami, what can human effort alone do? We need divine support." And Swami said, "Okay, I will do a thing which I have never done before. After bhajan, I will announce a donation of 1 lakh rupees on behalf of the Satya Sai Trust and exhort the devotees to participate in the relief activities taken up by the Sai organization." This, we are talking about 1977. More than 40 years ago, 1 lakh rupees was a substantial amount. So Mr. Prasad Rao said, "Swami, that would be great, Swami." So Bhagwan announced in his discourse, "You are all assembled here for celebration of my birthday. You know that the aim of this avatar is to serve the stricken humanity. The aim of my initiating you into this path is to bring moral transformation in you. Now is the moment of test. It is a moment of test to check your spirit of sacrifice and your righteous behavior. You all know that more than 10,000 people have lost their lives because of this disastrous tidal wave in Krishna districts. Thousands of acres of fields inundated by sea water has rendered them uncultivable for years to come. Thousands of cattle have died. It is the bounden duty of you all to render all possible help to your brethren who have been the hapless victims of untold misery and have been rendered shelterless." And Swami said that Sri Satya Sai Central Trust has already contributed to this relief operation. The president of Satya Sai organization, Andhra Pradesh, and Raman Rao, who is the convener of Sevadal, have been directed to take up the relief activities. They are leaving today itself. And then Bhagwan added, "I have never asked anyone for help any time in my life. I only desire that whatever you can, as per your might, contribute to those in distress." Those of you who can help in any form, cash or kind, do it wholeheartedly. So Sri Prasad Rao met the district collector at Vijayawada and got details of the villages where relief camps were needed to be set up. And Mr. Raman Rao was in touch with Achi Raju and Shivaram Krishna, to whom he would call to know about the details. Lot of donations were received, cash donations were received till 1 p.m. that day, and that came up to 8 lakh rupees. It became 11 lakh rupees. People in the Poornachandra auditorium that day, they just removed, women removed their gold, removed their jewels, and they contributed to this cause. And 2 truckloads of clothes, tins of biscuits, milk powder, sugar, everything that was available in Prashantalayam was packed, and trucks started off for Vijayawada with the help of Sevadal. A relief center was opened at Kotta Majeru, 12 miles from Masulipatnam. And A. Bappi Raju of the organization, who was in charge of the medical relief there, has recorded his memories of how the situation was then. He says, "I feel that what was mentioned in the newspapers is quite inadequate to describe the terrible havoc evident before our eyes, the horror that covers the rice fields dotted all over with heaps of dead animals and humans is frightening. We found that they have not even buried or cremated, since the place is still inaccessible and the task is too stupendous. But it is only because of Swami's grace that there was no evidence of cholera or other epidemics which usually haunt such areas. So the relief work started in a disciplined manner. On 10th December, there were relief camps set up for the survivors of the tidal wave. And when they went to these survivors, these people did not want the Sevadals to leave. The camp had to be shifted, since 100 had to wade through slush and mire to avail themselves of the relief. 4,500 people were fed daily in these relief camps. They were established at Barankula in Gundupalem, in Adavula Devi, in Ganapavaram. 200 Sevadal members arrived at Barankula and 100 to 50 each in the other villages and organized relief work. Barankula was a focal point where more than 7 villages had suffered extensive damage. 2,000 people had lost their lives. Thousands of cattle killed. No other relief agency had reached the place for days together, because it was an isolated landmass. And as hundreds of carcasses were lying all along the tracks, and the young men, toughened by Bhagwan's program of selfless seva and sadhana, took upon themselves the task of disposing of the dead. In fact, there were some prisoners who were released from the Rajahmundry jail, and they were asked to help in the work, and in return their sentence was reduced. They all worked with the Sevadals. Arrangements were made to feed more than 1,500 persons every day in these camps. Mr. Raman Rao says the problems that they faced while establishing the relief camps at Barankula village were terrible. They had to carry the supplies by headloads from jeeps and trucks which stood at a distance of about 200 meters, and they had to wade through nearly waist-deep water covered with carcasses of cattle and reach the elevated spot. Many of the trees were uprooted. Thousands of human and cattle died. It was a ghastly scene to look at the dead bodies dangling from palm tree which escaped the terrific force of the tidal wave. So after 2 days of removing and clearing that area of all these dead remains of animals, and somehow trying to take your mind off the stench and the foul smell, after 4 days a path could be made in that slush which facilitated the movement of trucks, and a community kitchen was started at Barankula. Supplies of food material were flooding. Now they were coming from all size centers. Sambar rice and curd rice, biscuits and milk were served for the children to all these 500 people there. In fact, if you talk about Barankula, of the 1,700 people, only 300 survived. In the village Sorlagundi, which was just 1 kilometer from Barankula, the survivors were just 14 out of 1,100 that inhabited the village. The survivors were like living corpses because they had lost everything. They had forgotten everything. They had just lost their mind. They were in a state of daze. They didn't know how to eat. They didn't know how to wear. They didn't know how to talk. They were completely sort of lifeless. Some had forgotten their names, their houses. They just didn't know that they were still alive. So the cooking started, and on the fourth day the number of people fed increased to 2,000, and a week onwards 5,000 people were fed. with whatever vegetables were available locally, somehow with the help of Sai centers and devotees, sambar rice was made. Children were given biscuits and milk. From 10th day onwards, several service organizations and merchant associations used to distribute bed sheets, clothes and eatables, and vessels brought by them to the surrounding villages would come to the camp of the Satyasai organization. And Satyasai organization would feed the volunteers of other organizations too. In fact, in the Barankula camp, food for more than 1,000 persons were sent daily to the village Swarnagundi, which was 3 miles away. Such intensive relief work was being undertaken, and provision was made for supply of drinking water, because every source of potable water was saline. One notable feature of the rehabilitation camp was that a glass of milk was given to every child below the age of 5 at any time of the day, because it was found that the calcium deficiency was resulting in the increase of skin diseases in the little children. In fact, the collector of the district informed that feeding the persons may be stopped when there was some semblance of normalcy in the area, and he praised the services done by the Satyasai organization. In fact, all the people who are working with the government and who joined the Satyasai organizations in the service were given attendance in their work. And there were some very, very important points that Mr. Raman Rao mentions that happened during this service camp. Even though when they arrived at the camp and there was no drinking water, no power supply, no telecommunication service, no dry fuel, no cooks, no cooking vessels, no shelter except a dilapidated house with 3 doorless rooms, and the residents were sick mentally and physically and half-starved, in these situations, hundreds of devotees of Bhagwan rose to the occasion, and they were only chanting Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, and serving these people in need. By evening, Mr. Raman Rao says, they got everything that was needed for the camp. A couple of Sai devotee doctors, they came with medicine, Petromax lights, tents and tarpaulin and cooking utensils and plantain leaves, vegetables, cooking oil, tins, plastic tumblers and whatnot. Everything came from Sai workers, and each person brought these from their homes, from their shops, from their towns. Every contribution was a voluntary contribution. In fact, the money that the central trust collected was used for something, was used to build the houses, but all these items were given by the Sevadals. And as I told you, the government issued a notice that the government employees who participated in the service activities for these 4 camps on behalf of the Satyasai organization would be deemed to have been on duty for the number of days thus spent in the relief activities. That is how the government was in praise of the seva done by the Satyasai organization. And the Satyasai organization did not accept contributions, anything in cash. And whenever anything was received, even if it was received from Sai devotees, everything was recorded in a book. The contributors were advised to inform the details of the contributions either to the Samiti president or the district president. They did not use any government vessels or government vehicles or government machinery for transport. And they did not even talk about Swami. They did not do bhajans or distribute prasadam, asking the people to say Sai Ram. Swami said, don't worry about telling them about Swami or asking them to say Sai Ram. Don't, just do the seva. Keep me in your heart and do the seva, Swami said. And that is the reason why, even though all these seva was done, there was no public bhajans, there was no even distribution of vibhuti packets or Sai photos or Swami's literature. But the only thing that was going on the lips of every devotee was Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And that is what gave them energy. For Swami's seva was important. Once you do seva, Sai automatically will introduce himself to them at the right time, in the right way. And it is this training of being focused absolutely selflessly and genuinely when you do seva that got ingrained not only in the hundreds of seva dals that worked during this disaster in 1977, but in all the office bearers, in all the people directly, indirectly, remotely associated with the Satya Sai organizations. And that was one huge learning for Mr. Raman Rao about how to conduct these relief camps and how to glorify the Lord. You don't have to take his photo, you don't have to distribute his photo, you don't have to give his vibhuti. You only have to do the work in all sincerity with the Lord in the heart, and the Lord will do the rest. So it is these moments and these experiences of working with the Lord is what created the master servitor that Sri Raman Rao sir is and continues to inspire hundreds of sevadals even today. We'll continue the story, many more beautiful tales from his life in the coming episodes. Thank you so much for joining with me on this lovely journey of soaking ourselves in the stories of such great devotees of the Lord. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with me through this lovely journey. Sai Ram.
दीन बांधवा श्री साई देवा दीन बांधवा श्री साई देवा दया सागरा devadi deva devadi deva daya sagara devadi deva devadi deva dina bandhava shri sai deva
Sai Deva, Sai Prabhu, Sai Shwara.
దేవా.